Let's go ahead and begin in prayer.
We thank you, Father, that we can meet, and we pray that you'll speak to us about openly expressing our love to you today. Give us something that will be helpful for us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We have looked at some open expressions of love to God. We've looked at obedience to His command and time in His Word. Last time we looked at prayer, and this time we're going to look at the next two or three. But before we get to those, I wanted to mention, we mentioned quiet time last time in regard to prayer. And we also mentioned corporate worship. We do pray in corporate worship. I wanted to call your attention to the next to last paragraph, or the third to last paragraph on 75. When one is so deeply burdened about something that he is distracted, or strange anxieties are flooding his heart, private prayer, which is orally poured out to God, is advisable. Prayer that is loud enough for one to hear the prayer from his lips himself. David did this, Job did this. There are many instances in Scripture where a person prayed out loud, praying out loud, even not in the presence of other people. So I wanted to go over with you something from God of All Comfort. It's also in the big book. The last two pages, actually one page plus very little, on audible prayer. Audible prayer can be helpful if we're not, if we're troubled about something, or we're not exactly sure what it is, or we're very troubled about it, and it's just a very deep burden on our heart. And so I'm going to read to you what it says on audible prayer in God of All Comfort. It's very expensive in the bookstore. I think it's $1.
$2.
Yeah, what is it, $2? Wow.
Inflation.
Twice the price, yes. And it can be helpful to give to other people, not necessarily who are going through difficulties. This is for difficulties in the inner person. Of course, when you have difficulties in your outer person, you often have difficulties in your inner person too, in your responses to those things. And so it can be helpful. What it does, and I've explained this before, but I'll explain it again just in case you weren't here. It gives 11 expressions of who God is and how that affects us, and who we are in Christ and how that affects us. And then it goes into walking with the God of All Comfort at the end of the book, and into audible prayer right at the end. So, whenever you can get alone in your home, driving in your car, I've done this in driving in my car. People think I'm crazy, but because I'm talking, right? I'm talking loud enough so that I can hear me. The Lord can always hear me, but I can hear me. Preferably in the morning, pour out your heart audibly to God, loudly enough so you can hear what you are saying. God already knows what you are thinking, Psalm 139:4. This exercise is to help you pay attention to the things on your heart and to entrust them to Him today. When you are alone in your chosen place, audibly pour out to God all that is heavy on your heart. Express. Now notice this is a combination of things we are responsible for and things we are not responsible for before God. But just pour out your heart to God. You're brainstorming, in a sense, in your prayer. Express your hurts, your sorrows, your pains, your concerns, your worries, your complaints, your anger, your fears, your griefs, your burdens, your embarrassments, your hopes, your resentments, your hatreds, your desires. your bitterness, your disappointments, etc., whatever is on your heart, say it out loud to God. Weep or rage or shake your fist at God if it is in your heart. Remember, He is not surprised at what is there, since He knows all things, Hebrews 4:13. And having done that, then, audibly confess as sin any unloving attitudes which you have expressed. So you're paying attention to those unloving attitudes more completely as you hear yourself saying them. Secondly, audibly thank God for His forgiveness in Christ of all your sins. Third, audibly confirm to God your desire to be filled with His Holy Spirit. And fourth, audibly by faith thank God that He is filling you with His Spirit. Notice those are the four C's. Then, audibly express. So you're doing this out loud. Maybe you're in a room or something like that. And maybe it's a loud whisper, just loud enough for you to hear it. It doesn't have to be for anybody else to hear. It's just between you and God. Anyway, audibly express openly your love to God by praising Him, Hebrews 13:15, and by thanking Him for all the good, encouraging, positive things in your life, Philippians 4:8. As well as for the hurts, disappointments, burdens, sorrows, griefs, embarrassments, pains, hardships, and difficulties which you have poured out to Him to begin your prayer. Notice that all those things we're not responsible for, but they do affect us. Audibly petition God with thanksgiving for what you believe may be in accord with His will, whether you know that it is or not, and leave these things with Him, telling Him that you will accept whatever answers He gives to your prayer. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. Audibly express to God your desire to obey His word today and forgive from your heart those who have wronged you. John 14, 15, and Ephesians 4, 32. Audibly thank God to show, audibly ask God to show you His timing for openly expressing His love to someone today, especially to someone who might have to do with the concerns which you have poured out to him, Proverbs 25:11 and 27:6. So, just wanted to go over that with you. It has been helpful to others. It's been helpful to me at times, especially when I'm anxious about something, but I'm not really sure what it is. I'm just deeply, deeply burdened and just going around kind of in a funk. It can help pay attention to the things and help us turn those things over to the Lord. Yes, sir.
Jeff, can I tell them about Jeff?
I guess so. I'm not remembering Jeff. Go ahead.
Our friend's husband, an unbeliever, came to Christ practically on his deathbed, colon cancer. And his wife, Beth, took that booklet in and read it to Jeff. And this was a brand new believer. And the man's response was, in tears, is this really true? Because it was scripture.
And passed away fairly soon after that. But the who God is and His position in Christ, he didn't realize that, and it was great comfort to him in those days. Yes, John.
That also is very helpful to me as well, and it's walking by faith is what that is, and walking by faith, you gotta invest time and effort and admit to God where things aren't right and admit your wrongs and then by faith thank Him for those things. But it's very helpful to me as well. So
God of all comfort, as I said, it's in the book story.
That one page is hugely valuable.
then So we're looking at open expressions of love to God, and we're on page 76, entrusting oneself to God. Coincident with praising, with spreading his praise and petitions before God in the believers, is the believers entrusting himself and his concerns to the Father's care. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7, I quote it here, so we won't have to look it up. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you. And Psalm 55, 22 says essentially the same thing. And then at the end of this, the next paragraph, doing so is an open expression of love to God, for it demonstrates that the Christian truly believes that God is sovereign, omnipotent, trustworthy, and caring. So, entrusting oneself to God, there are different ways to do that. For example, Nehemiah was confronted by the king. Remember, he was very burdened about Jerusalem, and so he was sad. And the king said, "What's on your heart? If you're sad because you're..." He was the cupbearer, remember. "If you're sad because there's poison in my cup, you're in deep trouble here. But if you're sad for some other reason, let me know." And the scripture says that Nehemiah said, I prayed to God. But you don't say to the king, "Excuse me, I'm going to have a time of prayer." You just shoot a prayer to the Lord. Okay, and that's entrusting yourself to God. As well as, of course, the audible prayer and the other things we've been talking about. Yes.
Jehoshaphat, when he was set up by his good friend Ahab on the battlefield, it says that the Syrian captains all went against him, and then it says he cried out, and they were diverted from him. And that's a word that can refer to a quick prayer for help.
Okay. And probably it was crying out to the Lord. And now it's not easy to entrust ourselves to God when we have burdens in our lives. And in fact, we might even be critical of God for allowing those things in our lives. We remember Job, right? He was a righteous man. He was a mature man. And God allowed terrible things to happen to him, and he did not sin in his responses. But then a little bit later, what happened to him? Who remembers what happened to Job? A little later, after all these things, and he had responded so well to the Lord, accepting those things, entrusting himself to God, what happened then? Later.
He started getting very critical about God and complaining, and why are you doing this to me?
Yes, he was critical of God. Now that may sound like a very small thing, but that's what he needed to repent of at the end of the book. So it's important for us to pay attention to the fact that we might be critical of God at certain points, to confess that and continue to entrust ourselves to God. What are some examples of entrusting ourselves to God? Maybe some situations or whatever that you have gone through, or you've heard of people going through, or that people could go through. Trusting ourselves to God.
Have a bad attitude about something, and then say, "God, I can change my heart on this because I'm resenting something or feeling badly." And it's not a loving attitude.
Okay, good.
God, you have to work it in me. I can't come up with it myself.
So Lord, this is not pleasing to me, but I trust you with it. I'm entrusting myself to you in this situation. Yes.
Circumstances when I'm hurt and I need to talk to somebody about being hurt by them, and I need to make sure my heart is right with God first before I go talk to them.
Good. That's an important thing to do. That's one of the hard things for me to do. When I have been hurt in something somebody has said or done, Yes, the right time, the right way, the right attitude, but it is important to go. And so I'm trusting myself to the Lord in regard to the timing and in regard to doing it and doing it by faith. We'll get into those things as we go on to open love to man. Yes, Gail?
Kathy James embroidered a pillow that's on our couch, and Susan has it out, and it says, worry ends where faith begins.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And so so we're either putting it on ourselves or we're putting it on the Lord. And it doesn't mean we're not concerned about it, but we're either trusting Him with it or we're not trusting Him with it.
I know my daughter, I had to pray with her over the phone because she was angry and upset. My granddaughter's back in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
She's had 11 hip surgeries.
Oh.
Apparently the gastroparesis is back, which isn't uncommon after multiple surgeries where you cannot eat.
Oh.
So she was malnourished, so they put a food tube back in through her nose. And my daughter shared with the doctors, if you'll check her chart, it can't go to the stomach. It has to go to the beginning of the intestinal tract, uh-huh, which is jejunum. And, of course, they didn't listen to her. I said, well, let's see how it goes and so on. And I said, let's just pray that God will convince them to do what's right for this individual patient, not what the protocols are.
Uh-huh, yes.
So they finally did, and now she's able to not be upchucking everything that's coming in.
Wow. Well, there's a situation that would be just so oppressive in a person's life for the daughter. And how old is the daughter?
So Rebecca's 17.
Uh-huh. Wow.
And she tried to share with them because
as well as for the
mother. Learned a lot about medicine just studying everything.
I imagine. Yes.
And but the doctors tend not to listen to other people.
Yes.
I'm sorry,
but at least the Lord can, as my wife says, I go to the higher court when I don't agree.
That's right.
So in trusting, yes.
Death of a child.
Oh, yes.
Death of a spouse.
That is death of somebody closest to you, the spouse or the child, particularly, or somebody that you have been closest to in your life. In the deep grief of the of these situations, entrusting ourselves to the Lord. And that would go into the next thing, actually, which is thanksgiving. Even thanking Him through our tears and sorrow. Let's look at Ephesians 5:20. Someone look up Ephesians 5:20. And someone else look up 1 Thessalonians 5:18. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Now 5:20, interestingly, in Ephesians, follows that passage that you're probably familiar with. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is dissipation, but be being filled with the Spirit. That's what the be filled with the Spirit, but it's in a present tense. Be constantly, continually filled with the Spirit. And then it gives several things that happen as a result of our being filled with the Spirit. And 5:20 is one of those things. Who will read 5:20?
I've got it.
Mm-hmm.
Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ.
And so so giving thanks always for all things. I looked it up in the Greek, and it says giving thanks always for all things. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Who's got that one?
In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.
And so, not only for all things, but in every circumstance, in everything, give thanks. but it's just not there in our hearts, right? We have to do that by faith sometimes.
John? Yes. And this is, when we do that more consistently in our life, that is a witness to the world around us.
That's true.
A big witness, because the world can't do that. Capacity.
And what does it do in your heart when you don't give thanks to the Lord for something that is very difficult? Now, we're not talking about grief or discomfort or sadness. We're talking about our response to those things, okay? And we can either thank the Lord for them and in them, or we cannot do that, okay? Now, when we don't do that, what happens in your heart when you don't do that? I'm convinced that there are some times when you don't do that, because I don't do that all the time either. What goes on in your heart?
Worry, insecurity.
Okay, worry. What else?
Insecurity.
That's interesting, isn't it? See, when we do entrust ourselves to God and when we do thank Him, what happens? We've got peace and confidence and drawing near, right? And when we don't, we begin to lose that confidence, that sense of security there. Okay? What else happens?
Well, anger towards God.
Okay, and we can also be critical of God as well. In fact, that would be a twin brother, wouldn't it? Because I'm not really thanking Him for it. I think I'll just go the other way and think He's made a mistake here somehow. Now, we know intellectually that God doesn't make mistakes, but it sure seems like it, doesn't it, at times. But when we do, what happens? When we do thank Him for the sadnesses, the hurts, the discomforts, the difficulties in our life, what happens in your heart when you do that? I guess John's the only one that does these things. Yes, go ahead. I'm sure he's not.
It quiets down. You get peaceful.
There is a peace in there, isn't there? That instead of a sense of guilt, there's peace and there's confidence, and we draw near to God and to others. Yes, John?
It's a step of faith. So you're walking by faith, acknowledging your dependence upon Him.
I have mentioned several times that when something is a hurt to me, maybe it's a small, maybe it's a medium, maybe it's a large hurt, I will sometimes weep. If it's a small thing, I'll weep for 5 seconds? If it's a large thing and it really is heavy on your heart, you may weep for some time. But that helps me to entrust myself to the Lord, pay attention to the issues, and thank Him for the situations. And there is a peace that happens in our hearts as that goes on in our lives.
In our culture, you know, men crying is not a, you know, it's a look down upon thing,
Well, I do it alone, so you guys don't know unless I tell you about it. Yes, go ahead.
I did a quick study on the people that were shown to have cried the most in the Old Testament. The Old Testament person was David, and then the New Testament person was Christ.
That's interesting, isn't it?
David and the son of David.
And so here's David, the one after God's own heart. And here is God Himself in human flesh, and He is noted to weep. Yes. So, and of course, it doesn't mean that we've got to do it in the presence of other people, even though in the Old Testament and throughout the Bible, there is, that was according to their culture. It would be when somebody close to you died, then you would outwardly weep. In fact, there was a certain set time for that. I think about 30 days or so, if the person was very, very close to you. And there's a recognition of that deep grief. Thanking Him is also an open expression of love to God. Well, before we go into worship, let's go ahead and get into our praise and prayer groups. if you don't, do you have a does everybody have one? Okay, everybody has a slip. All right. A's, B's, C's, D's, and E's. Okay, wherever you... or you can go any place you want to go. And there's also some good kind of, what is it, a coffee cake or something, and it has chocolate chips in it back there. Pretty nice. We have been looking at open expressions of love to God. We looked at entrusting ourselves to God and thanksgiving. Here's another open expression of love to God on page 78. Worship. I read those two brief paragraphs at the top of the page. The believer is not to forsake assembling together with other believers for corporate worship, Hebrews 10:25, but he is to be speaking to others in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in his heart to the Lord, Ephesians 5:19, and stimulating others to love and good deeds. So obviously you are fulfilling that today. You are stimulating others to love and good deeds. You're assembling yourself together, as the Lord says. And it's interesting to me that think of the days and the seasons and that kind of thing that we have in our world. Days are determined by the rotation of the earth, right? And months are determined by the moon around the earth, and years are determined by the earth around the sun. But where did the 7-day week come from? From God Himself, who created all things in 6 days and then rested on the seventh and was refreshed. The Bible says He wasn't refreshed in that He was exhausted. It was it's like comforted and encouraged, and all. You get done with something, even if you're not exhausted, and you're glad. Desire fulfilled is a tree of life. And so that says to me that at least once every 7 days, if at all possible, we should be gathering together with others of like precious faith. There are more opportunities than that here. But at least that seems to be the minimal. But worship, the second paragraph, is not confined to church, however, for all of life is to be a spiritual service of worship, Romans 12:1, as one expresses his love to the Lord in spirit and truth, John 4:23, and does all things, does all in the name of the Lord Jesus, Colossians 3:6. 17. And so worship really is all encompassing in a sense, because that's what our lives are, as we are and as we do and as we say what the Lord would desire for us. Then using one's spiritual gifts is also an open expression of love to God. Think to yourself. The scripture divides the spiritual gifts into two basic areas, speaking gifts and serving gifts. And there are many, many things that can fit into those areas. At the bottom of the page, the last paragraph, at the moment of his spiritual birth, God distributes to every Christian a spiritual gift as he desires. It appears to be at the moment of our spiritual birth, since it's a spiritual gift, right? And we become spiritual, in tune, in touch with God at the moment of our spiritual birth, which he is to employ in serving others in the body of Christ. 1 Peter 4:10. So that in all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. 1 Peter 4:11, after it talks about using one's spiritual gifts. And so we have the speaking gifts and the serving gifts. Let's note some of those things. Many of them are done within the body as the body is gathered, but some can be done also with regard to the body when the body isn't gathered, okay? But it's for God's glory, and we're using our spiritual gifts. So let's start with the speaking gifts. Of course, we think, oh, it's the pastor and the Sunday school teacher and this kind of thing. No, it's not just that. What other things are speaking gifts where a person can be used of the Lord because the Lord has given that person a spiritual gift?
Evangelism.
Okay, evangelism. Sure, and that's not just done in church, right? It might be on occasion, but most of the time it's out there. What else?
Yes. Encouragement.
Encouragement. Good. Here's a person who has a gift of mercy, for example, and often that is done through speaking. It can also be done through serving, but it may be done through speaking as well. It's interesting to me that statistics have been taken of churches, and it has been found that it is 20% of the people that give 80% of the support of the church, and it's close to that, as far as I know, with regard to the using of one's spiritual gifts. Now, a spiritual gift, as I would understand it, is a blend of what God has given an individual. It's like a master painter. Let's say you have a certain amount of this color, that color, all the colors, okay? But a master painter is going to put all those colors on the canvas in a specific way. And that is our spiritual gift. That is, that's how we can use the blend of gifts that God has given us. We may be stronger in some and weaker in others. And so think in terms of the ministries that God can use us in, using our particular blend of gifts, or one or two or three of the things that make up our gift, and how he uses us to do those things. What are other things? Speaking gifts. Yes.
I have a life experience with church and church attendance, because I was raised in a Christian family and church was always part of our Sunday life. But as I was older and married and had children, we made a move from one area to another, and I was very slow in responding to the Sunday church. And my sister paid a visit to us, and she learned that I hadn't established yet. Uh-huh. And she discerned the fact that there, you know, she had to speak a word to me. Uh-huh. She did. Uh-huh. My older sister, she's now passed away, but we found a Grace Baptist Church in Newhall, and that's basically today. It's Master Seminary's music building.
Interesting.
And we attended that for 4 years, and we're greatly blessed.
Uh-huh.
Okay, now fast forward a lot of years. My younger brother said he was a believer and that he prayed, but he resisted church totally. He just basically didn't go to church.
Yes, yes.
And about a year ago, I said to him, Eric, you've been summoned by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to be in his house on Sunday.
Yeah.
And he says, oh, Mike, he says, those are such powerful words.
Yeah.
It really impacted him.
Good.
Well, since then, he recently moved to Boise, Idaho, where his son and daughter-in-law are active in a church.
Uh-huh.
And I talked to him recently, and he said, Mike, I've attended church 8 times in a row, and it's just such an incredible experience.
Yeah.
And he said, my wife and I are going to be baptized, that's today,
oh, great.
In that church. So just those words,
right.
My sister chided me, and I knew she was right.
Uh-huh.
I gave him that message, and he knew it was right.
Good.
And him, his wife's a believer as well,
uh-huh.
but they were far off in terms of their church attendance and mm-hmm. being engaged. So
good.
Praise
good.
The Lord for Eric and his family.
And that's using the words, isn't it?
Words of
using
exhortation.
Words. Yeah. Yes, yeah. Words of exhortation. And you also have a ministry with older folks. I don't know what you do. Is that more a serving area or is that more of a speaking area as you go there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The one where you're not here and you're ministering over there.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's been a blessing, too. We go every other week to this.
Well, what do you do, basically?
And we've gotten to know these people. It started off with about 10 people showing up, and now it's up to, I think I counted 30 or 32 in the
so
last
what do you
time.
Do? What do you do, though?
Well, we, first of all, we show them Christian love by
uh-huh.
getting to know their names, and mm-hmm. the wives help a lot in getting out and greeting them. And now we know them. It's, you know, we know these people.
Good.
And
so we're reaching out to them.
Speak to them by name.
Verbally.
And
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, that's an important part of it. And then we play Christian songs,
uh-huh.
and three of us stand up and sing out these songs that
uh-huh.
we know, you know, they're old hymns, but a lot of these people know them, and they join in.
Oh, good.
And our choir goes there like twice a year and okay. sings, you know, whether it's Easter or Christmas,
okay.
sings to them.
And so what I was pointing out is there are various places of ministry. Another place of ministry would be teaching the little children. Being with the little children, you know. There are all kinds of things that can be verbal gifts, right, that where we can use that. How about serving gifts? What would be some examples of serving gifts?
Let me add just yes. one thing
uh-huh.
to that.
Sure.
Belinda knew that there was an opening at the rehab for a Christian service. And she asked me if I would take that. And I says, well, let me call a couple of guys and see if I can get them to get on board with me.
Uh-huh.
I made 2 calls, Bob Clark and mm-hmm. Bill Whitehead, and they uh-huh. both said yes.
Okay.
So we take turns. And these men really walk with the Lord. They study the Bible and they deliver it faithfully. So
is that more a serving gift there?
Yes.
Or is that,
teaching
also. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, teaching is the focal point.
Okay.
Yeah, we give them the gospel every time.
And so there is the verbal. How about the more serving area where there's not as much hardly any at all of the verbal teaching, the verbal help. But there is also other things that you do. What types of things might they be?
Yeah. I'd say all these people that get together on Saturdays to build that building.
Okay, there you go. Yeah. Gail is intimately involved in that. Chris.
The orchestra, the people that play the instruments.
Good, yeah. Good. Here are people that are not saying something, but they're certainly doing something. Setting up and taking down chairs. Yes.
Well, I know that Erna and the other wives of these men that are faithfully bringing a sermon to mm-hmm. these elderly people, and yeah. I know my mother-in-law is one of them, they physically help them get ready and get
young.
In their wheelchair and get to the sermon.
Good, good. There are many possibilities, many areas. So God can use us in many ways in the gifts that He has given us. And of course, all of them are different. As the Scripture uses the illustration, we may not be an eye, we may be a foot, we may be the mouth, we may be the hands, and the Lord can use us in every way, and you need all of those for a body, right? Can you imagine a big eye rolling down the road?
Yeah. And the Lord gave the example of the lowest servant's job.
That's true.
He wanted to make that impression, make sure that he knew there's nothing below serving him.
Good. And so he was a teacher par excellence, right? But then he was the one who washed the feet, too, just like the servant. And then one final thing in regard to open expression of love to God, whatever one does, Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God and the Father. So that just encompasses everything. Everything basically can be a worship to the Lord, even though we may not think of it as that. There are also considerations at the end there. And next time we will pick up four kinds of human relationships, and we'll be talking about open expressions of love to other people as we continue on in our study. So let's have some prayer. We thank You, Father, that You have not only called us to Yourself and done what we couldn't do in Christ, but You now call us to serve You. You could do it much better than we. We do it so haltingly, so inadequately, but thank You that You use us. You use us to be channels of Your love back to You and to other people. And thank You for the fulfillment of it. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.